An airstrike in Syria yesterday killed 7 Iranians at their consulate in Syria. That is a major breach of international norms. Attacking a country's diplomatic residence is viewed as attacking the country itself. Now, Iran blames Israel for the strike, and one of Iran's top military advisors is among the dead. Could this widen the conflict in the Middle East? Let's put that now to hear now security analyst Jim Walsh of the MIT Security Studies Program. Hi, Jim.
Hi, Scott. Always good to be with you.
Israel has not yet claimed responsibility for the attack, but I understand many experts think indeed that was the case. Is that your assumption, your understanding as well?
It is. It's that, and there are several reasons for that, not the least of which, Scott, is that over the past several months and even years, we've had sort of a shadow war unfolding in Syria with attacks back and forth, but in recent months, primarily Israel attacking targets in Lebanon, but in Syria and including Iranians in Syria.
Yeah. Jim, is this a significant escalation of these long-term tensions?
I think it is. I mean, it's sort of unprecedented to go and bomb a country's diplomatic facility, which, as you suggested, is considered part of the country's territory, actually. But, you know, how provocative it will be will depend on how Iran responds. And, you know, Israel may have different motivations for wanting to carry out this attack. But one of the larger questions is, how do they expect Iran to answer this? Do they expect them to sort of swallow it and vow revenge in the future and not do very much, which is what I think myself and most analysts expect. They don't expect Iran to escalate. And so is Israel doing this because, you know, they can in some sense maybe get away with it because things are so fragile right now? Or is it that they actually want to expand the war? And I think that's less likely, but I think it's a proposition we should at least consider.
Yeah. I want to ask about that. But first of all, as far as the Iranian response, Tehran has vowed vengeance for this airstrike. Why wouldn't it counter and do something?
Oh, I think it will, or it certainly will aspire to. But, you know, imagine a situation in which a senior official is killed, you know, or an attack on 9/11 or something, and the state responds, you know, that's it, we're declaring war, you know, we're mobilizing our forces, even if we're not declaring war, we're putting our forces on alert. You know, there are different things you could do that would signal a much stronger, what in our world we call a kinetic response, something that kills people. But if you're just saying, we'll get you later, you know, and sort of vaguely vowing something in the future, then that doesn't seem as ominous.
Yeah, because potentially the moment from Iran's perspective, this might not be the right moment.
Yeah, well, I think Iran, there are several reasons why people, including me, think Iran would be reluctant to enter a war. I know Iran's reputation is it wants to destroy Israel and it's got tentacles everywhere and all the rest of it. But the fact is that most analysts see Iran as acting as restrained right now, a restrained calculator. The reason being they have economic problems at home. They have domestic problems at home. They're not in a position of strength, and they probably don't want to fight a big war against Israel. And so, again, does Israel want to take advantage of that, or are they looking to goad them into it? But Iran has to be careful about how the leadership has to respond. I mean, we just had, you know, recent elections in Iran that were not well attended, and then the supreme leader recently criticized the president of Iran for his economic policies. There have been other sorts of turmoil, so I think they're hesitant.
Jim, as far as Israel, and you noted what their motivation might be, we should note the victims in the strike include 2 Iranian generals. One is from an elite division. How do you think about what Israel's motivations, what the range of motivations might be here?
Yeah, well, part of it might be operational. You know, we're going to go take out one of their senior guys with their hope that maybe that would disrupt their operations, or maybe because they're thinking they plan to expand operations in Syria and disrupting them would be a good first move. It might be that there are political motivations. Netanyahu might be looking, as a matter of personal politics, to try to reestablish his credentials in the national security arena after the disaster of the October 7th raid. Israel, more generally as a government, I think would prefer that people focus on Israel versus Iran versus Israel versus Gaza. to reframe the international conversation. Now, I don't think that fared very well if that was the motivation, because on the same day as the strike, you had newspapers leading with the fact that Israel had massacred those aid workers. So, that one didn't work out. Maybe they're trying to put pressure on a third party that we can't even figure out. But those are some of the motivations that Israel could have. Maybe just thinking we can get away with some things in the chaos of war that you normally wouldn't be able to get away with.
Yeah. And Jim, a little more than a minute here. We have discussed with you before Iran's so-called axis of resistance. Iran funds groups throughout the Middle East, including Hezbollah in Lebanon, Hamas in Gaza, groups that have attacked Israel and its allies. What should we watch for, not just from Iran as a response, but its proxies?
Yeah, the most important by far, bar none, is Hezbollah, right there on the border with rockets and missiles. And the question is whether they do anything. They're the player closest to the action. They all have their own interests and their own calculations, but they do have a close relationship with Iran. But, Iran doesn't have the Air Force to carry out a direct attack, and it's far away. So if something happens in the future that's escalation, it will probably involve Hezbollah and Lebanon.
We've been talking to Here and Now, security analyst Jim Walsh. Jim, thank you as always.
Thanks, Scott.